Good morning, brethren. It's good to be with you this morning. Beautiful day. I want to thank Cole for that reading. He called me and asked me what I would like to have read, and so I appreciate him taking the opportunity to do that. We'll begin where Cole read in the 18th chapter of John. And here we have Pilate interrogating Jesus a little bit, and he asks him if he's a Jew, if he's a king of the Jews. He replies that. But the 38th verse is where I want to look at today. And Pilate asked him that eternal question, what is truth? What an excellent question that is. It was posed at an opportune time. It was posed to the one person who could actually, truly answer that question. And it's a question that maybe we ourselves have asked of ourselves. We might have asked that of someone else, and maybe not in that particular direct form like that, or that style. But sometimes we might ask ourselves that question. Your presence here, your willing presence here today, would lead one to believe that you have asked that question, what is truth? Because this congregation is a congregation of truth seekers. That's what we claim to be, seekers of the truth. And we'll explore that just a little bit more in a few minutes here. But why would we ever want to know what the truth is? What profit does that bring us to know what the truth is? Well, by knowing the truth, by inference, we can know what is not true. We can know what is a lie. It will make us more able to recognize the difference between a truth and a lie. It's that discernment that John Lee talked about a few weeks ago, that spiritual discernment, that knowing the difference between truth and a lie, discernment will help us not so easily be deceived. We may still be deceived, but not so easily the next time the situation comes up where things are just a little bit cloudy, a little bit murky, and we're not exactly sure. But we have the truth to go back and look at that and make that judgment, to discern truth from lies, from right from wrong. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, the first 6 verses I like to read. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John writes that you, we, me, us are of God. Wow, how's that? That's great. And we're told to test those spirits to see if they're of God. We're supposed to recognize the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In 1 John, the 2nd chapter, the 21st verse, scriptures read, here's the reason why John wrote this letter. He said, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. This book was not written to those who were in the world. This book was written to those who were of God. People in the world, and I'll speak from experience on this, generally don't care a hoot about what the truth is. I looked for truth for a lot of years. I looked for truth in bottles of alcohol and cans of beer and in drugs and in nights of pleasure. And I never, ever, ever found it. You know why? Because it's not there. It's not there. It never has been, never will be, never, ever, ever there. It's a lie that the world tells you. It's all lies. But I didn't know it was a lie until I had the truth in me. See, that's the way people are out there. They don't know it's a lie because they don't have the truth. But we, as of God, we're supposed to know that truth. And so it helps us to make that distinction between good and evil, what God would have us do and what God would not have us to do. We're supposed to be able to rightly divide the word, 2 Timothy 2:15. We're supposed to be like the Bereans who studied daily to see what Paul had said was the truth over in Acts 17th chapter, the 10th verse. And by knowing the truth, we have a baseline. It's an unchanging baseline of truth, a point of reference to take us back so that we can compare things to. By knowing the truth, we can apply that truth to our decision-making ability to allow us to make good and wise decisions and not foolish decisions. For us to possess that desire to choose to live in a way that God would have us to live, that is a wise decision to make based on the truth of God. The Apostle John over in 3 John, he said he rejoiced with the news that the believers were still walking in the truth. God loves it when he finds believers who still walk in the truth. The Apostle John rejoiced. They continued to do those things that they were taught as of little children. And they carried on and persevered in the things that they had learned from Jesus himself. In 1 John, the first chapter, the first 7 verses, I'll read this from scriptures. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, considering the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you should also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him, and we declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we had fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, if we walk in the truth, we have fellowship with Christ. And that allows us, each one of us, to become men and women of truth, all to the glory of God. In John, the 7th chapter, the 18th verse, scriptures read, he who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. We work in a humble way so that God always gets the glory. It's not about us. It's about God getting the glory, as one of the brothers said this morning. In John, the 16th chapter, the 13th verse, the scriptures read, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide up you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Listen to the words of the Spirit of Truth that are written down in our Bible. That's where the words of the Spirit of Truth lie. And finally, one more scripture, John, the 14th chapter, the 17th verse. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's the difference right there, brothers and sisters, between those who are God and those who are in the world. They can't see the truth. They can't see the Spirit of Truth, but it dwells within us. And that is the truth. The Spirit of Truth that dwells within us. How great is that? That's fantastic. What a great honor. What a great privilege. And what a huge advantage we have over those in the world. To be able to claim that the truth lies within us. But not to be used to puff our heads up, to make us look good, but all to the glory of God. And let the world know what it does to us. Let the world know what the glory of God is. That's our job. To be that lamp unto darkness wherever we go, spreading that light. But I digress. Back to Pilate's question. What is truth? If I'm looking for information on a particular subject, and let's say it's a complex legal question involving large corporate mergers, well, there's some people I would go to first, and there's some people I would not go to at all to ask about that. And that's pretty obvious. That's a pretty obvious thing here in this congregation. Now, if you were going to come to me, you probably would not come to me and ask me where the best place in town is to get a manicure. It's pretty obvious that you wouldn't do that. You would go to somebody who has experience in that, who has knowledge about that, who's done that before. So you don't go to the wrong person to ask the right question to get the best and the most accurate information. We would be best served to go search out the most informed, the most knowledgeable, the one with the most experience. We would look for what I call the primary source, the guru of whatever we're trying to find out. Well, Pilate couldn't have picked any better person to ask that question of than of Jesus Christ. In John, the first chapter, the 17th verse, the scriptures read, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." In John, the 14th chapter, the 6th verse, the scriptures read, "Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Even the Pharisees who perhaps were buttering Jesus up a little bit when they went to question him, recognized that Jesus was speaking the truth. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the 15th and the 16th verse, the scriptures read, "Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk." They're going to go to trick Jesus, to trip him up. "And they sent him, their disciples, with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher,'" now I don't know if they're just saying this to butter him up, but they said this, "'Teacher,'" and the Holy Spirit put this in the Bible so that we would read this too, "'Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men.'" So Pilate's got the perfect guy to ask the question of. He can't do any better than to ask the source of truth, Jesus Christ. I mean, it was jackpot time for Pilate. Jackpot. This is the guy you want to ask. Only one problem. He didn't hang around for the answer. And Jesus didn't answer the question. But he didn't hang around for the answer, because over here in that 38th verse of John 18, he said, "And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, 'I find no fault in him at all.'" He did not hang around for the answer. Maybe he was just asking that rhetorically. Maybe he wasn't serious about asking the question. Maybe it was just a flippant thing. Or maybe Jesus knew he really didn't want to know the answer. Maybe that's why Jesus didn't answer. I don't know the whole situation there. But it's a good question. Maybe Pilate was afraid of the truth. You remember that movie, A Few Good Men, where it's Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson, and it's Cruise is a lawyer, and he's grilling Jack Nicholson, and Cruise says, "I want answers." And Nicholson says, "You want answers?" He says, "Yes, I want answers." He says, "You want answers?" He says, "No, I want the truth." And Nicholson said, "You can't handle the truth." Maybe Pilate couldn't handle the truth. Maybe he couldn't handle the truth, because, you know, sometimes truth is hard to swallow. Truth is sometimes scary. We read the other night in Acts 24 where it was Felix who it said he became afraid when Paul preached the reasoned truth to him. And over a couple chapters later, when Paul's before Festus, he says, "You're insane." Festus said Paul was insane for preaching the reasoned truth, truth and spirit. But sometimes it may be crazy, but sometimes it's scary. Now sometimes it's scary when when we ourselves, we look into that mirror of self-reflection and we're honest with ourselves and we're truthful with ourselves and we realize that we're not what we think we are. We're not quite as good as we may think ourselves to be sometimes. We have flaws, we have errors. The things of this world do pull us away off that path of righteousness, off that path of truth. We're sinners, plain and simple. No excuses for that. No excuses. That's not to mean be taken as a liberty to sin, no. It's just a realization of what we really and truly are. You know, for me, Sundays and Wednesday nights are a whole lot easier than the rest of the week because I'm with brethren. You know, that during that time. And what a joy it is to be among the brethren where you don't have to worry about all that stuff out there that you see when you're not with the brethren. What a joy that is. What a relief that is and how much it's appreciated. God is actively seeking out men and women who will worship him in truth and spirit. We read that in John, the 4th chapter, 23rd and 24th verse. Not just in truth, not just in spirit, but those together, equally weighted, truth and spirit. God is looking for true worshipers like that. But we have to have that baseline that I talked about earlier, that baseline of truth to start with. Otherwise, we end up like the Galatian brethren over in the first chapter of Galatians, where how soon they were turned away from the gospel that was preached to them, and they turned to what Paul wrote was said it was a perverted gospel, which is no gospel at all. Paul writes that in the first chapter of Galatians. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Phil Reynolds gave an impassioned invitation. We're paraphrasing a little bit, where he said the word of God is true from page to page, from beginning to end. And I say amen to that. He talked about the story of the Tower of Babel and how he reasoned with truth, how that story was not, as someone said, was crazy, it impossible to do, but he reasoned with truth. And he reasoned that out, and he found out, as we all do, that this is the word of truth. If we believe, you know, we read over in John 1 and 1, how in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If we believe that, and I hope we do believe that, if we believe that, and we believe, as we confess before men and we're baptized, that God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down from heaven, took on the form of a man, was crucified, and was resurrected, we believe that. If we believe that 14th chapter of John, that 6th verse, that Jesus is the truth, and grace and truth came from Jesus Christ, John 1:17. If we believe all of that, how can we not say that this whole book that we have in front of us, on our laps, somewhere in front of us, is not the whole, complete truth of God? How can we not but reason that the Word of God is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I just can't see that. To me, it's contradictory. These words were given by the Holy Spirit, and we know God cannot lie. How can we think that this is not the truth? The gospel was not revealed by men, but it was revealed by Jesus Christ to men, to John, to the other apostles, to the men that studied under them, and up to this time, and up until the end of time, men reason the truth, want to bring this truth to us, so that everyone would come to know God and not perish. To share this truth with everyone we come into contact with. And so by knowing that truth, that we are set free. Jesus said that. The truth sets men free from uncertainty, sets men free from doubt, sets men free from the things of this world that provide no answers at all, no solutions. It sets men free from believing the lies that Satan would have us believe, that would ensnare us and rob us. Rob, you will be robbed from the glory of God. Grace and the mercy that Jesus Christ so freely provides. Men have come and continue to come to steal souls away from the truth. In 2 Peter, the second chapter, the first three verses, scriptures read, "But there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." It's our duty as men and women of truth to preach the truth that was brought forth by Jesus Christ and the apostles through the Holy Spirit. It's our duty to do that. It's our duty to restore and to rescue brethren who have wandered away from truth or are getting ready to wander away from the truth. That's our duty. In James, the 5th chapter, 19th and 21st, it said, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." There's great glory in that for God. That's a good thing for us to do. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the truth, for it is the will of God. Rejoice in the truth because it is the power of God, as we talked about this morning. It's the power of God. The truth is right there in front of you. If your Bible is open on your lap, the truth is right there on your lap. It's 2.5 feet away from your head. The truth is sitting right next to you in those pews, hopefully. Learn the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and be wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. It's God's desire. It's God's desire that you be saved today. It's God's desire that you not perish. And we pray that is your hope as well today too. Before we offer the invitation, I'd like to read one more set of scriptures in the 5th chapter of John. And I want you to think about this. If you've been thinking about this for a while, think about these words. And please, brothers and sisters, help those who are outside of Christ. It's a sad thing to see a soul lost. But those of you who are not of God, listen to what Christ says here. 5th chapter of John, starting at the 18th verse. "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him. He not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than those that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to those to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he granted the Son have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and to those who have done evil to the resurrection and condemnation. That's the two options. The resurrection of life or the resurrection of condemnation. Jesus will judge as we offer the invitation. Consider that. Consider that. Consider your condition. We pray that you accept the gospel invitation as we stand and sing.